Good morning. It is Sunday, April 27th, 2014. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Theater Squared Season 8 concludes with Hamlet, on stage now through May 4th at Walton Arts Center's Nadine Baum Studios. Shakespeare's epic tragedy is equal parts ghost story, political intrigue, doomed romance, and murder mystery. Tickets and information for Hamlet available at theater2.org. or by calling 443-5600.
Ahead on this edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large, how little pieces of blue plastic are being recycled with Mercy Hospital. We'll go to the first tee of Northwest Arkansas in Lowell and find out how golf and life are intricately connected. Plus, we'll hear a song from Elephant Revival recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio and much more.
But first, a look back at the weekend news with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis.
The big story this week centered on U.S. Senator John Bozeman. The 63-year-old senator was hospitalized early Tuesday morning after experiencing arm and chest pain. Doctors at Mercy Hospital in Rogers conducted several tests and performed emergency surgery to correct an acute aortic dissection, or a tear in the largest artery in the body. Senator Bozeman has been recovering, and he was moved out of the intensive care unit and into a private recovery room Thursday. Patrick Creamer, a spokesperson for the senator, says that while several appearances in northern Arkansas had to be canceled, it was mostly business as usual at Senator Bozeman's Washington office.
The staff continues to work to help Arkansans with any issues they have with federal agencies and respond to legislative inquiries, and they've taken meetings up here in Washington with Arkansans that are in town, and then, of course, in the state, they're continuing to make the rounds and meet out there. So it's somewhat business as usual. We'll have hopefully have a better timeline before the Senate goes back on Monday as to, you know, when the senator could be back in Washington, but as of right now, we just don't know. So fortunately, there aren't any votes this week, or we just unfortunately had to cancel a number of events that he had booked.
Aside from Senator Bozeman's health scare, though, a handful of stories regarding litigation and the state of Arkansas came to the forefront of the headlines from the past 7 days. A decision on whether Arkansas's ban on same-sex marriage will be reaffirmed or lifted is expected this coming week after litigators recently presented nearly 3 hours of oral arguments. After the proceedings, Jack Wagner, an attorney for the plaintiffs in the case, framed the court's future decision in the context of similar litigation nationally.
His ruling won't do anything on a national level beyond add to the the ever-increasing load of cases that have gone our way. You know, you saw me go over, I think, 18 different decisions, I think 14 federal courts and three state courts. All the decisions that have come out since the United States Supreme Court's decision in Windsor last June, and every single one of them has ruled in favor of the plaintiffs in those cases.
The state, represented by Assistant Attorney General Colin Jorgensen, argued that the will of voters, which was expressed in a 2004 amendment to the state's constitution, lends legitimacy to the ban. But Wagner argued previous cases affirmed that fundamental rights cannot be superseded by the will of the majority. All parties involved conceded a stay is likely if the ban is overturned, with the case likely to head to the state Supreme Court. Later on in the week, Pulaski County Circuit Judge Tim Fox struck down Arkansas's voter ID law. The Pulaski County Elections Commission brought the suit challenging just one provision of the 2013 law added in February by the State Board of Election Commissioners. The suit argued the state board overstepped its authority by implementing a rule not contained in the legislation, granting absentee voters additional time to show ID. Pulaski County Election Commissioner Chris Burks said it made sense for Judge Fox to examine the entire law.
The court looked at the law and said, yes, I've been asked to rule on this part of the law, but in considering this part of the law, I have to consider the whole law and the Constitution of Arkansas. So I think the ruling really reflects fidelity with the Arkansas Constitution.
Burks said that he expected the ruling would strike down the entirety of the law, and that any further changes to election law should wait until after the coming primary election.
It's important to consider how do you practically administer elections. And if you have a ruling taking down the entire law, then you have a stay, I think that promotes confusion. So, I think the order today was very clear, and you want to promote stability within the law. You don't want confusion. So I would hope that we can just go forward under the old law and not have the 595 be put back in place with a stay pending appeal.
Burks said that he believes the ruling finding the voter ID law presented an unconstitutional barrier to voting helps safeguard Arkansans' rights to vote. Republicans pushed for the law last year and overrode a veto by Governor Mike Beebe, saying voter ID legislation was needed to prevent voter fraud. And the Arkansas Supreme Court said that it won't reconsider its decision to reject a $1.2 billion judgment against a pharmaceutical company accused of improperly marketing an antipsychotic drug. Justices last month overturned a Pulaski County ruling that favored the state. In a 4-3 decision this past week, the court turned down a request by Attorney General Dustin McDaniel to consider the case again. McDaniel reacted to the decision in an interview with Talk Business and Politics.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm certainly disappointed because the rationale that the court used was completely new and foreign to the case, an issue that was never raised by any of the parties over the last 7 years. And they now create, in every case in Arkansas, the potential risk of malpractice for lawyers because they say you can no longer trust what's printed in the law books. The law that we've been litigating has been printed in the red leather books for the last 21 years, and no one ever questioned it.
McDaniel also said that the court's interpretation of the law in its decisions undermines more than 170 years of precedent.
The Arkansas Supreme Court has the reputation of being a results-oriented court. They get whatever result they want, and they craft the law to match what they want done. And in this case, they came up with something that no one had even argued. It undercuts the credibility of our court, and it completely takes away from the Attorney General the ability to ever go after a drug manufacturer, no matter what they did or how guilty they are. In this case, the drug manufacturer pleaded guilty to a federal felony and paid $2.2 billion in fines, and I'm told we're never allowed to prosecute them or anyone else.
McDaniel says the court was wrong when it said the state misapplied a Medicaid fraud law in its case against Johnson & Johnson. The state had claimed the company didn't properly communicate the risks of the drug Risperdal and shouldn't have marketed it for off-label use. The company argued there was no fraud and that Arkansas's Medicaid program wasn't harmed. From the Harold and Blanche Kalk News Studio, I'm Timothy Dennis and this is Weekend Ozarks at Large.
In about 16 minutes on this edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large, how Don Draper and the program Mad Men can help us talk about history.
The series wove the historical events into a truth told through fiction.
Right.
Of the changes of the 1960s and the 1970s, the exact time period of
Camelot, the Kennedys.
Bingo, and civil rights, and great American unrest, and the Beatles' arrival in America notwithstanding, this year does begin a series of not so golden anniversaries. JFK's assassination in 63 begats a litany of 50s, the Gulf of Tonkin, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King.
Our history doctor, Bill Smith, comes back to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about how popular culture can help us explain history to younger people and to ourselves. That conversation ahead on Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Next time on Living on Earth, pet flea collars kill fleas and ticks but can be dangerous for the household.
When kids come in contact with their pet, which they do on a daily basis, they come into contact with that very toxic pesticide.
The EPA will ban some flea collars, but not all, and not very soon. I'm Steve Kerwood, and that's next time on Living on Earth from PRI.
Listen to Living on Earth, Sundays at 5 p.m. on KUAF 91.3 FM.